Hello, hello. Happy Friday. Welcome to this recording of the Divine Downloads podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth Overton. And today, wow, what a wild journey we have been on in 2020, right? Today, I have Miss Millie Elia on the show. She is an advanced practice nurse, a yoga professional, and a fierce, I'm going to add that, nurse patient advocate. After graduating from NYU, she founded M. Elia Wellness, a private service that offers consultation on the development of community health programs and educational wellness workshops. With the onset of COVID, she became aware of the acute distress her nursing colleagues were experiencing. She has pivoted her advocacy work on providing tools and resources to help both frontline staff nurses and senior nursing students on the verge of graduation to better cope with the challenges of COVID. And in April, she was invited to participate in Rutgers University School of Nursing self-care webinar series for nurses. And we're going to talk specifically about the resources and how you're offering these tools in the show. So welcome to the show, Millie.
Oh, thank you so much, Elizabeth. It's such a pleasure to be and such an honor to be on your show. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, of course, you're welcome. And like most people, we met on the socials and my guides told me, you need to call her. You need to talk to her. And Millie, you and I were talking before the show. Really, there's so much divine timing.
Yes.
With how things work out. And let's talk a little bit about one of the things I just want to highlight for nurses, whether people are thinking about becoming nurses or the nurse who's been in his or her career for 10 years is to me, there's no one path to becoming a nurse, to being a nurse. And I feel like as nurses, we really can write our ticket if we're willing to do the work and we're willing to, you know, connect and resource. And so one of my favorite sayings is, instead of, I loathe the phrase, just a nurse. I really love, of course, like who better than a nurse? Who better than a nurse? And so tell us a little bit about, you know, your journey of nursing and kind of how you got to where you are now, Ellie.
Oh, sure, sure. I have been a nurse for 25 years, and I've been a nurse practitioner since 2001. I've always worked in oncology, a very conventional setting, starting off back in the day in bone marrow transplant units, going on to radiation oncology, and just always, I was always in some way related to oncology. And then I had a very traumatic, for me, experience in 2014. My sister, Catherine, passed away from breast cancer. And I became her advocate and her her caretaker, ultimately. And I think, as nurses, we're always advocates. We're always, that's part of what we do. But coming around the table, so to speak, to the side of the patient, really set me on my path to becoming an advocate outside of the walls of my particular unit. And after she passed away, we were very, very close. Once she passed away, I was left with the feeling of what now? And I knew instinctively that there was, once your eyes have been opened to what it is to be a Hispanic patient, lower income patient in the healthcare system, and you can never go back. So my sister, that represented my sister, and I became a very strong patient advocate. And I decided that I wanted to open my own, outside of my institutional work, open my own service to help breast cancer survivors and help them connect with resources and help them on their doctor's visits so that the doctor's visits can be overwhelming. And so I started my service. I became a health and wellness coach, and it evolved from there where I began to realize that people needed more than just information. They needed a relief, or release of the physical symptoms of their anxiety and pain and discomfort. And so I became a yoga professional. I began to study yoga. Well, at some point about probably a year ago, I began to be invited to more community and population-based events. I became a speaker at conferences, integrative medicine conferences. I became invited to national organizations as a healthcare stakeholder. And I began to find that I started having more traction in my advocacy work at the larger organizational levels. So it's been a evolution to where I'm at now. But COVID, whereas I concentrated always on patient care, COVID had me suddenly realizing with the distress of my frontline colleagues and the distress of students, nursing students about to graduate, that I needed to pivot or bring an arm of focus to caring for the caregivers, caring for the people that were caring for my people, my cancer patients. And I began to look hard and listen well to what nurses on the front line and student nurses were saying. What were their concerns? What were their challenges? What were their fears? And I decided to take action steps, because whereas I would go on social media and, write a post saying institutions need to support nurses where they're at. It's not enough to give a list of phone numbers and saying, call these people for emotional support when you have time next week, schedule an appointment. Fear is a very primal instinct that rises up when it rises up. And I felt like nurses needed support where they were at on the unit. They needed support to be readily available on their off time. And I didn't feel that that was happening, or at least not happening as widespread and as quickly as I would have liked. Because when you work at an institution, everybody knows there's a certain amount of, I don't want to say red tape, but there's a system in place, and that system can take more time. And I'm the biggest introvert you would ever possibly meet, but the advocate in me, when I feel that something more can be done, becomes like a mini lion. And so I said, I have the privilege of not needing to go through bureaucracy. I can just fill the gap as I see it. And whoever benefits from this can benefit. So I had a conversation with a very good friend of mine and colleague, Gracine Jean-Pierre, who's also an advanced practice nurse and a lifestyle medicine consultant. And she's working on her PhD in integrative medicine. And she and I resonate with each other. And we said, what can we do? And we started a Facebook page called Nursing Well. And it's actually a play on words. And my friend, Rachel Benete, I hope I'm pronouncing her last name, she actually helped me come up with that title. Nurses give from their well of knowledge, compassion, empathy. But when do we fill our well? And so we named this Nursing Well. And when I was invited to participate in Rutgers University School of Nursing, I promoted it like any program. And what I came to realize was people were saying, oh, I didn't know Rutgers was holding a university, a program. But did you know so-and-so is holding, Sigma Theta Tau is holding a program, or this person's program. And I said to myself, if you don't know, if you're not in the know, then you don't know. And there must be some way to collect all of these informations and deposit it in one source. So that's the basis of Nursing Well. I scour the internet. I speak to individuals. I bring them on in what is turning out to be a show, a weekly show on my Facebook page with different aspects of well-being and self-care and self-compassion. And I cannot wait to have you on, Elizabeth, because the whole spirituality in nursing is something I really want to bring to the forefront. I have been also advocating for nurses to come to be supported in efforts to connect with nature, because I believe that nature is a really healing source of healing. And so I began to work with an organization recently called SHIFT, JH. JH is Jackson Hole, where the headquarters are. And I'm helping to coordinate a nursing group there that is going to be first and foremost looking at the health and wellness of nurses, as well as population health. But I'm working with wonderful minds much broader than my own, who are helping me to organize this. And we're figuring out a way to potentially offer focus groups for nurses to begin their healing journey in nature, and different kinds of programs and opportunity, and what that looks like now when we're still, many of us, in quarantine, and what that looks like when we're living more than ever in a virtual world. So there's a lot of creative things that I'm working on, but right now my main focus is supporting the current nurses and future nurses as they enter into this new era that none of us have ever experienced before.
This is, like I said in the beginning, like nurses just, okay, so let's just peel back some of this, because like, I believe that nurses can do whatever we want, right? If we know the right people, we have the passion. And clearly that's why I said you are a fierce nurse patient advocate, and the passion and the ferociousness comes through in your advocacy. And it's funny, right? When you're an introvert through and through, and yet you're going to the mat because you feel the passion, and it's so poignant and beautiful to witness that, Millie. So I want to thank you for that. Wow. And also I just want to, share my condolences for your sister. Yeah.
Thank you. You know, Catherine was 10 years older than me. She was my mentor. My mother had passed when I was little, so she was kind of a mother figure. But I'm a very spiritual person, and I really believe that, you know, for myself, I believe that her physical body died, but she transitioned in a way that she's still with me. I feel her presence guiding me in this life, and I still feel, they say, there's a saying, death ends the life of a body, but not relationships. So I'm still in relationship with her, but thank you very much.
Of course. And I think, well, I believe that every quote crisis is a spiritual crisis. And isn't it interesting that she was your mentor, and because of her situation, it's really helped pave your path, because you became a fierce advocate for her, and then you kind of shifted over right now to the nurse because of COVID. Like, I don't believe that there are any coincidences or accidents on the path.
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
So I just think it's so, she's like totally right now, she's doing round off back handsprings, like, woo, woo, go Millie.
she's probably saying, knowing her well, you're finally listening to me. She's my big sister.
Yes. Okay. So I want to, this is so fantastic. Like, talk about meeting nurses where they are, like right here on social media. I love the name Nursing Well. I'm a total metaphor word nerd. So absolutely love that. And so in that program, you're offering resources, the weekly show,
right? It's a free, it's a Facebook page. So it's not even, it's not a business page. It's a resource page, and anyone can access it, Nursing Well on Facebook. And I started off by thinking, I'll just put all of the things that I was involved with and things that other people were involved with and use this as a reservoir of information access. And then I don't know where the inspiration came from me, but I thought people are information, are drowning in information. People, I don't know, but I'm hearing from a lot of my colleagues, they're just, they don't have time and they're tired of having to try to pick up from this sort of abstract self-care modules that they're given. And so I said, break this down. I had like an inspired thought, break this down, keep giving information because not one size fits all. And so meeting people where they're at means appreciating and respecting what resonates with them. And some people like podcasts, some people like reading articles, some people like interactive exchanges. And so if I'm a leader in servitude, if I lead with servitude, then I have to find ways to access resources that suit different learning modalities. So at some point after, you know, bringing a lot of information type of resources to the site, I thought, break this down into individual ways that explore creativity, spirituality, community, and find experts in each one of these areas that are nurses, because nurses speak well, we get each other, we understand each other, and who better to speak to another nurse than a nurse? So I had, I'm having a wonderful video coming out soon on knitting, and the woman, my colleague and friend who's going to be doing that show is, has been knitting for years. And she is, she's has done research on the mindfulness of handicrafts like sewing by hand. So there's a science behind that mindfulness in making things with your hands. She's going to be doing a show on the science behind that and giving tips on how nurses, handiwork like that can be brought into the job. So if you don't have a lot of break, a lot of time, you can do some sort of handiwork to sort of refocus and re-energize. It's very soothing. I did another show that actually wasn't a nurse, but still she is a social worker and works very closely with nurses. And she did the life, she specializes in the life cycle of crises, which I had never heard about. But apparently this is, there is a bell-shaped curve to every crisis, whether it's a health crisis, a mental crisis, whatever crisis you're talking about, there's a bell-shaped curve. And it is, has a predictability in terms of how people typically feel as they go through the different stages. I said, I have to have you on. So I did an event with her. I'm looking forward to having you on. So little by little, I'm addressing, breaking things down and pulling on larger resources from larger organizations like the ANA, as I said, Rutgers, different organizations are offering self-care tips as well. But my offering is I'm trying to figure out how to get a community in nurses outdoors. So I'm trying to start a program called Nurses in Nature, free, because this isn't about, this isn't a business transaction. This is filling a need that is right now. And how that looks, if I go on walks, community walks with nurses or lunchtime walks with nurses, I'm not sure how that looks. And that's why I always associate myself with really smart, creative people, because I can't always figure things out on my own. But I'm lucky enough to know many people who are far more creative than I and can help me plan these programs out. So that's my, I'm big into movement as a yoga professional. So that's my contribution. And I'm a, I guess you could say a nature nut. I'm a tree hugger, literally. And so being out in nature is something I can connect with people who are interested in that.
Oh my gosh. Nature nut. I love
it. Nature nut.
Oh my God. Okay. So So Sue Allison Dean, she's the nature nurse. She was a couple episodes ago. You guys have to connect because
we are connected. And okay, she has a Facebook group called Nature Nurses, mm-hmm. and she connected me to gave out the information about this organization SHIFT, which is a national organization. But yes, we follow each other, we interact with each other. And so she's really been a great inspiration to me as things have been developing.
So good. So this is what I love is that there's enough abundance and prosperity to go around, right? If you took 10 people and you're all nurses and you all want to talk about nature, you're going to do it in your own way. And for some reason, I'm thinking of Donna Cardillo. She is coming up because
she's in our group. Yes, absolutely.
She is huge into labyrinths, and she became certified as I'm going to get the name wrong, but basically, it has something to do with being certified as
forest.
An outdoors
forest. That's my dream. I told her that she's a forest therapy guide.
Yes, that's
so,
it.
Right. So all of these things fall into a science called ecotherapy, which I really think given, and this is sort of going into a very short tangent. I'm going to pull myself back very quickly, but given the pandemic and climate change, and we know how this impacts the environmental, because we're all a big ecosystem, how environment impacts human health in terms of not just our own physical health, but in communicable diseases. I think in nursing school, there should really be a curriculum about ecotherapy, which is all about that would include social determinants of health and the environment. And I could go on, that's a whole different show. I could go on about that for a while. But one thing is forest therapy. That's what she's certified in. God bless her. That is like a dream of mine. Someplace down the road, but yes.
Okay, absolutely. This is, I love this conversation so much because I feel like because of the things that have transpired, specifically COVID, the way that nursing healthcare has kind of come into the way that it is now, I really see this as a huge opportunity to get back to the basics, to get back to getting our feet in the soil, getting back to nature. And of course, who better than a nurse? Oh, a nurse is so well positioned to be in nature and to be in an advocate also for the ecosystems and the earth. And so I think it's like, it's this colliding of this perfect storm. And I think that nature, I mean, all the research shows that when you are in nature, I mean, nature shows us the cycle of life. It shows us that we're supported. We will be taken care of. And I think this is a perfect segue to talk about, to me, when people are submerged and put themselves in nature on a regular basis, it's super healing on a mind, body, spirit level. And I had a spiritual experience at my favorite lake. And so I want to ask you, Millie, let's talk a little bit about this whole divine downloads concept. I feel like a divine download is when we are in I call it a receptive state, mind, body, spirit, meaning we're an open vessel to the highest good, the wisdom. And then when we receive that wisdom, that's the, call it what you want, download, upload, aha, insight. Right. It doesn't really matter. And once we receive that wisdom, it forever changes our humanity. We don't put our pants on the same way. We show up with a different energy. And I feel like we've had many of these, and these are pretty significant This isn't just like an idea. This is like, whoa, stop you in your tracks. So is there one that you feel like in the moment would resonate with the audience or that you would want to share?
I try to, and we've talked about this, Elizabeth, I had to really check my ego at the door in order for me to be of most service, I think would be the best for everyone, because I know it's my personal thing. Well, I'll tell you two things. What really resonates with me, and I'm just absolutely falling into this, like I feel my whole being just falling into nature, is finding some way to support nurses, whether they're in the urban areas where there's very little green, where there's not as much green space, or they're in the rural areas like I am, finding their way back to nature in community. I think we need to be in community. That's a personal thing that I'm really focusing on. But then I think the other thing is, you know, my nursing well page, because there I include myself and Gracie Ann include all different kinds of resources. You know, some of my best friends say, Millie, go on your nature trail without me. I don't like the bugs, for whatever reason, that doesn't resonate with them. But I am making it my mission to put a little something for everyone. You need, honestly, even if you're not a nurse, you'll probably find something there for you. And if you want to send me your thoughts on what you'd like to see more of, please do. I'm very open to being of service. It isn't about me, it's about we. And those are the two.
I love that. So you've arrived at this place where this service to others, specifically nurses, and reconnecting to nature, like that's beautiful.
Yeah. And I think that once nurses have been able to, nature is kind of like a balm, a soothing balm. And I think that once nurses have been able to soothe that part of them that is in so much pain right now and angst, then they can go forth and help patients. But if the healer is hurt and traumatized, how can that healer go forth and help anybody? And so,
it definitely feels like a message of hope. And nature is free. Nature is, even if you can't get into it, even looking at a photograph of nature increases the feel-good hormones.
That's it. That's it. That's it exactly. And there's so many ways it can be done. I grew up in an apartment in New York City, and it wasn't until I was in my 30s that I lived in a suburb. And I remember a full-grown woman in my 30s saying to one of my patients, I said, I can't believe I live in a place where the trees are taller than the houses. And he just laughed. And I said, there's so many trees. But that was a luxury to me. And so I know from growing up that privilege of being around nature isn't a privilege that everyone has. I'm very sensitive to that. So I make it a mission to help people find ways they can get a little bit of nature where they're at. If that means potting flowers at their window. And look, I don't have, you know, most plants just die on the side of me. I don't have a green thumb, but I know other people who do. And so having these people contribute to refilling the nursing well, the emotional well, is very, very important to me. And finding ways to creatively, strategically support them where they may not get that support within their institution, or they may not have that in their family. But what they can do themselves, find what works for you, find what lights your inner fire. And if you don't know contact, you know, me or Grace CN, contact somebody that you trust, that you think might be able to help you, and explore that.
Beautiful. Okay, I just got a download. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know how community gardens and also school gardens are becoming really popular? How cool would it be to have gardens at the hospitals and healthcare facilities where employees could go on their breaks, or you know, have this extra time where they could literally go put their hands in the dirt and be growing food? Wouldn't that be incredible?
That would be. That would be. And I'll tell you, and this, and I don't mean to backtrack, but it kind of sort of relates to this. Even if that garden, even if the, you know, for whatever reason, the institution said, well, while you're on duty, you can't be, you know, potting soil, whatever. And there's actually a lot of healthy microbes in soil, but that again is another show. Even if there was that atrium or garden available for employees to sit and meditate quietly, because I remember I working in the big city, we didn't have that. So we'd either go to the chapel, didn't matter if you were like an atheist, that's the only quiet place you could meditate, or you would just walk around and just get fresh air. But what if there was a garden? And if employees on their off hours, there are different ways. There's no problem that can't be solved. There are different creative ways to work around that. But going back to Catherine, when she was passing away, the one thing she asked me was, take me to a place that has a garden. And I said to her, Kathy, hospice, I don't know. But I said, okay, I searched. There's a place called Calvary Hospital that has built an atrium. It's the only one that I know of in New York that has a big atrium. It's like a greenhouse, part of their hospice, and they wheel their patients in there, but their staff goes in there also. So long story short, I got her in there, and I went to it, and it was just such a peaceful place of serenity. And I saw the little benches, and I would see staff members sometimes sitting with patients, sometimes by themselves. And everyone was quiet and just able to seep in the calmness that comes with that kind of environment. Absolutely. Absolutely. What 100%. Thank you for that download, because you actually just gave me another idea that I'm going to be looking into.
Wonderful. Actually, the hospital that I used to work for had an incredible gardens, and you know, all the elements, the water, and so I have such an appreciation for organizations that understand the science and the research behind the importance of the setting. You know, if the environment is healing, everybody's going to be better. Hello.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. You know,
the ANA has Healthy Nurse, Healthy Nation initiative. And they have done research on what they call renewal rooms. So renewal rooms are restorative rooms where the staff, if there's no room for a garden or whatnot, okay, I understand. But a space where on the unit where staff, it's designated as the quiet space. Only one person at a time for maybe 15 minute slots can go to just decompress. And this idea has been out there a while. It just hasn't translated over to real life. It hasn't. Certain places have it within the United States. Certain hospitals have that designated renewal room, but not every place. And I think that it doesn't have to be a whole room. It can be a corner, an area, something that is designated for just quietness to allow people to rest their minds and their emotions. And I would love to see that. That can be done for pennies, really, pennies.
Right.
I would love to see that embraced, because I am very concerned about the COVID experience causing an exodus of my nursing colleagues to leave the field. And I feel for the fear of those about to graduate and what's going to happen to bedside nursing. What's going to happen? We're going to feel the collateral damage of COVID in many, many ways, including frontline healthcare. And so there has to be something that we offer.
So I think this is a perfect way to wrap up this conversation. What is one thing that you want to leave nurses with, to marinate on, to think about, whether they're about to retire or they're a senior, in school? Yeah.
There's always, no matter what stage you are at in your nursing career, whether you're a student, a staff nurse, the community nurse, nurse leadership, academia, we all, like you said, we all can come back to basics. We can all, each one of us, can empower ourselves and not be victims in the moment to what's happening. In that moment, you can find something that resonates with you to fill your cup and know that you are in community with others who feel exactly the same way. And if you can't figure it out for yourself, reach out. If you can't, if you're so beat down and tired and feel hopeless, reach out. Someone will help you find your way. This, our story, once a nurse, always a nurse, and we are banded together.
Woo, so good. Okay, I love this so much. Find something that resonates with you. Yes, so important. Okay, now we talked about the Facebook group is Nursing Well. Tell people where are you on the socials and how they can connect with you, Millie.
Oh yes, I have. You can email me, and that's Millie MILLIE @ MelliaWellness.com MelliaWellness.com. That's whatever ideas or suggestions you have, they're more than welcomed. You can visit my Facebook page, Nursing Well. You'll find me on LinkedIn and Twitter under my actual real name, Milagros. Reach out. I really enjoy hearing from people, and I want to know what serves you best.
Wonderful. Well, this has been such a treat, and I feel like it's so timely to have this conversation. And what a perfect storm! And getting back to the basics as a humanity, yeah, as a profession. And so, I just really want to thank you for your fierce advocacy for, you know, the underserved and also nurses and patients. So thank you, Millie.
Oh, thank you for having me, Elizabeth. This is a platform that is really serving so many people, your podcast. Thank you so much.
Oh, I received that. Thank you. And of course, thank you to the listeners. And please, let's get this podcast out to more people. If you know a nurse that you think this would resonate with, please share it with them. And I thank you for your service. I bow and honor to you wherever you are on your journey. And just know that you are supported. Even on the dark nights of the soul, you are supported and you have free will. So ask for help and support from your angels and your guides. And until next time, just keep taking those baby steps and get out in nature. Put your feet on the earth. Put your hands up to the sky and receive that well of vitamin D and goodness that pours in from nature. And until next time, take care. Bye-bye.